This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Right back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian. Broke the story yesterday about the ongoing lease negotiations between the city of Memphis and the Memphis Grizzlies. Excellent reporting. Sam certainly have sparked a lot of conversation across the city. And I urge people to read both pieces that are up at the Daily Memphian. You don't have to just take our word for it on what is said here. Go read the pieces themselves. But Sam, can you just, for those who haven't read them yet, can you give us the essence? Summarize the story to the best you can here in a moment.
Sure. First, thanks for the nice words, Jeff. I appreciate it. How to summarize it?
What's the essence?
Succinctly.
Yeah.
The essence of the story is. First, I want to establish, like, no one is really keen to talk about this. And so no one agreed to talk on the record for our story. And so we chose people familiar with the matter, which means, like, people who are involved in this process. We spoke with and gave them anonymity so they would talk about it, so the public could know something. So first, like, that's what I want to establish. And then next, we got financial documents. We had been for some time essentially asking the city of Memphis to show us how FedEx Forum is going to be paid for. There were a bunch of approvals that the city, you know, obviously famously got a ton of cash from the state of Tennessee for which is being split between Simmons Bank, Liberty Stadium, and FedEx Forum. Show us how that's going to be used. Show how these various taxes that have been approved for the future into the 2050s, how it's going to be used and what it's going to actually fetch. And so we finally got those documents back. And what it paints as a picture is that there isn't a ton of money to get to the $550 million in proposed FedEx Forum renovations. And the really only pathway there is not to borrow a bunch of money really quickly. And that probably lessens the scope of the renovations. But it also is sort of inserted. I don't want to say insert. I'm going to be careful here. But it's made clear that the deal that is being used to keep the Grizzlies here is significantly less than what many other small market teams are getting right now. And it kind of establishes that fact and establishes that there's a real willingness of the franchise to be here and to take that deal. And what is the holdup in that deal being accepted in a second lease extending the team here beyond 2029 is the condition of the Grizzlies neighborhood, which is downtown. And so that's, I think, the best summary I can give it. Okay. And I hope I made some sense.
Yeah. A couple things. So it's interesting because when they came up, I mean, we've sort of known that $550 million isn't the same as a billion, right? They're spending $1 billion in Oklahoma City on a new arena. They're spending $550 million. And we've all been like, isn't it nice the Grizzlies are willing to take $550 million as opposed to a billion? And whatever the arena is going to cost in San Antonio that seems to be on the way, and whatever the arena might cost in Portland that may be on the way, and whatever else. But what's interesting to me and really revealing that I don't think I did fully appreciate, and I don't think most of the listeners did either, is that $550 million is nothing close to a big pot of money that will be presented to the Grizzlies. Go knock yourself out. do what you need to do with the building. It really comes in, and I won't go through, but it comes in dribs and drabs over how many years?
I mean, it could be between 7 and 12 years, right? Like, it really, and there's a lot of flexibility. Like, at some point, you could issue debt, you know, on for this project and get a bunch of cash quickly. But keep in mind, there's also 200 plus million essentially being waiting to be spent right now, right? That's cash on hand from the state of Tennessee, right? So and 80 million that, right. of it has been allocated. So and because the work is going so slowly, because these renovations are kind of starting, right? Like, what's not really been advertised is this $550 million is starting to be spent, right? Without a lease right now. Like, and the city is essentially allocated $80 million without a lease, you know, that the Grizzlies would probably say is needed under the existing lease. But like, yeah, this is really coming very slowly. And so it's not, to your point exactly, it's not some big glossy thing. It's really like a series of payments of what could be 7 to 12 years.
So the way that the story, well, in a way, this seems like this is great for the city, that they aren't going to have to issue debt and the money's going to be much more expensive. This is a way for them to responsibly pay this for the renovations for this arena in a way that, for a city that doesn't have a lot of extra cash knocking around, makes this practical and feasible as a way to spend the money. On the other hand, typically when you present the big pot of money, you get a lease that is a long-term 30, 40 year lease that is pretty ironclad. Like, isn't there, I guess, if this works out well and the Grizzlies stay over the long term, we will say this was good for the city. But there's more peril here, isn't there, because of the way that it is structured and the flexibility. The flexibility for the city helps the city. The flexibility for the Grizzlies represents peril for the city. Is that not fair?
I mean, I would say, like, yeah, to get into the gritty detail of it, yeah. I mean, in some of the financing documents we've seen, there's essentially language that says, you know, this proposal is considered in part because it would allow there to be less debt that would have to be paid off, presumably under a condition. And this lease has not been agreed to, but maybe there are broad strokes maybe agreed to. But, and I'm speculating here, but like, the Grizzlies would have to pay some money on those bonds to leave Memphis, right, under the renovation, right? But if they're essentially, what's happening here is without that, there's not really, you know, a big penalty. So yeah, there's some peril, it's consideration of the Grizzlies would leave early, but I wouldn't say it's like the Grizzlies have given no indication that they would leave early, right? Like, they are like very intent, like our reporting shows that they're very intent on staying here at this time, right? So I want to say that. So
yeah,
there's peril. It's just what it shows is like, we're not talking about an ironclad 30 years. Like I think you put well, you know, yesterday, like we're talking about an uncertain future that is sort of like weighing, you know, it's kind of, as you said yesterday, correlated to the future of Memphis. Like, that's really what's being considered right now.
Yeah, I just got a text from Travis Greer pointing out that, listen, the original lease had hit it out clauses too. And that's true. But the original lease, honestly, was pretty ironclad through 15 years. And then it had enormous payments that would have had to been made to pay off the arena and penalty clauses and other things that made it, at least for 15 years, pretty ironclad, and has made it very difficult for them to escape, except for the early termination clause that you and I both reported on back in 2020. So this would be a different sort of a lease. I do want to underline the point that you just made, though. Everyone is working towards this as if they want it to happen. I think, you know, people get so terrified about things that they lose sight of that. And it's a point I made in my column, but it's a point I've certainly, that Jason Wexler doesn't lead tours, the ones that you first reported on a couple of years ago, I think, of the area around FedEx Forum because, for any other reason, that he wants it to be better because he wants the team to flourish and thrive. Like, there's nothing on either side here that makes you think they are approaching this other than that they want to figure out a way to make this work.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would say, right? Like, I think that's what I found in my reporting. Like, I'm talking to the people that are involved in this and, like, working, like, a lot of people that are involved in this. And it's very much like there are problems, but, like, it's two parties right now, for right now, in this moment in time, continuing to work towards those, you know, for mutual benefit, right? And
why doesn't anybody talk? Do you have any theories about why doesn't, like, neither side? Like, you did all this incredible reporting with documents and anonymous sources, and nobody has really ever talked much. I guess the mayor has had a quote or two here. I think a couple of years, Jason Wexler, you got a statement from the Grizzlies about the neighborhood, what, a year ago? Like, but no one says anything.
18
about
months
this.
Ago. 18, yeah. About 18 months ago. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do know, and I want to. I'm going to answer your question because it's a fair one. I think the public deserves to hear it. It answer. I think it's honestly there is a reluctance, I would say, I think on all parties to advertise that this isn't done to the outside world.
Right.
Right. Like it is much more of not wanting the in the broader world to like be talking about the sports world. You know, the sports business world. To be talking about, hey, why isn't that lease done to Memphis? You know, and let's go poke around the couch cushions in Memphis and see what's going on. You know, and do we want a team here? Because all of a sudden, expansion in the NBA doesn't seem like a sure thing, right? And you have these markets out there that want a team. And I think that is, like, there's a reluctance, I think, collectively, because there's fear of that. Because everyone who is at the table right now is working towards resolution that keeps the team in Memphis. There's a lack of wanting to signal weakness to the outside world, is what I would say.
By the way, that in and of itself is telling. Like, if this notion is that by talking about the possible vulnerability of the franchise, you actually create more vulnerability on the part of the franchise because it creates this impression to the outside world that this team is gettable. So therefore, we're just going to keep it under wraps and we're not going to talk about it a lot. Whether that actually is how the world works or not is one thing. I actually think there's something to that. But what's interesting to me is that the fact that they then don't talk about it reveals that they do want the team to stay here. In other words, if you didn't, if that is a fear, oh no, by talking about this, we're going to make us more vulnerable, that establishes that they really do are operating from a place of wanting the team to stay here. Right. I mean, and I find that comforting in a weird way, because there's a lot of times where teams will advertise their availability. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think like what to watch for. Right. Is like right now, that's the situation. Right. Like this is the situation. This is the conciliatory situation among all sides. Right. And I think like if that changes, that will be interesting. Right. And also everyone has been loath to have this in public. They don't want,
right, they don't want this,
you know, they don't want literally this conversation right now, right, on radio. Right. And so like, that's where we are. And like, what I would say is like, I think like, look, the world is a pretty sharp place. And, you know, I think it's probably not lost. Like, I mean, like Stephen A. Smith, you know, talking about Memphis on national TV is more of a red flag in a story like this. Right. And so at the same time, like it's a really like, because it becomes about, you know, how does downtown Memphis change? How does perception of downtown Memphis change? Can the, you know, Memphis has really had a crime, you know, wave peak and fall over the past 5 years, you know, collectively as a city. You know, things got worse in the election year, 2023. That was like the worst year on record, a terrible year, almost 400 homicides in the city. Right. And perception of Memphis and downtown Memphis has suffered since the pandemic. As someone who's worked downtown and now lives downtown, like it is not the same place I worked in 2019, right, before the pandemic. And so I think whether or not this works out over the long haul, I think might be just come down to that. Like, how is this going to look? How is Memphis going to look, and how is that perception going to change going forward?
Chris asked me yesterday, and I know this came up on the podcast as well. I urge people to go listen to the podcast over at the Daily Memphian that you did with Chris and Drew, in addition to reading the stories. But he asked me, in the end, they got to sign a lease, right? If you're going to keep spending the money at some point, they got to sign the lease. And presumably Memphis won't be a thriving downtown metropolis by that point. And then they'll also see how it goes from there. They'll sign the lease. I presume there will be out clauses in the lease or things that, you know, won't, you know, if the city spirals down the drain, that you're not going to keep an NBA team forever. That's just the reality. So, but what metrics are there that will, that need to be achieved in order to get over that first threshold of, okay, we feel comfortable signing the lease, beyond the lease negotiations themselves? Is that ill-defined? Do people, do you think on both sides of this know what that looks like? Is it simply process of working towards goals, or is it some evidence of the goals in reduction of crime or something else being achieved? What's going to cause them to say, okay, we feel comfortable signing a lease?
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that question. You know, that's a place I don't think people were really willing to go.
Right.
You know, because, you know, like in my reporting, you know, asking these people, talking to these people, you know, multiple times, you know, calling them back, right. I was asking, like, you know, look, like we're allocating state cash right now. We don't have a lease. Some of this work could be considered under the existing lease, right? But like, once $80 million gets spent, once $100 million gets spent, where's the line of, like, you're probably like, where is the line? And that's really unclear too. And so I just want to say something about, like, you know, if it's a matter of the team paying money to get out of here, Robert Pera has the money for that.
Right.
Okay. Like the ownership group has the money for that. So like, we pointed this out in our reporting, like it's not a real barrier today. Like there's not really a monetary barrier today. You know, and so going forward, like any monetary barrier that would be put forward probably isn't a real one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really going to be about the place. And like, I think the question that needs to get answered is the question you just asked, which is, what are the metrics? And maybe it's an amorphous thing, because you're really talking about like a city, like, you know, like if the city hits what certain percentage of what, you know, and for how long, like how do you do that? You know? And so I think it's a really tough question. It's one that's probably got
to
be answered.
What I wonder is, I get that no one is willing to tell you what the metrics are. I wonder even if they know what the metrics are. In other words, does the city know, or is one of these, I'll know it when I see it? Like, or is it going to come down to something as pedestrian as attendance? It's one thing to not. It's hard to work towards a goal if you don't know what the goal specific, what you're trying to achieve, and so. I wonder if the city knows, if we do these five things by this date, then they will sign the lease. Or if it's just like, if we look up and it's 6 months and it feels safer, then we'll feel comfortable. Because that's a pretty amorphous thing to work towards.
Yeah. I, again,
that's not a question.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think it's a great question. That's all I got for you.
All right, Sam. By the way, does the future of Beale Street, not to bring in anything else, tie into this? Like, how is that related to all of this?
I mean, look at the Grizzlies. One on the record time in the past 18 months has been about their neighborhood. What is their immediate next door? You know, Beale Street. What does Jason Wexler take people to tours of largely? Beale Street. Right. And so like that is a big matter in this. I think just what does all of downtown look like? Right. Like I would say to people, you know, Eric Barnes, our publisher, has Behind the Headlines, and he had Doug McGowan on, and I was on there with him, Doug McGowan, the CEO of MLGW. And we asked, you know, Doug about kind of the future of that building, because the MLGW building is, you know, prime real estate right across from Beale Street. Right. And McGowan committed to being in downtown and said essentially that they await the Memphis City Council and Mayor Young saying if there's a use for the building, right? Like, that's what he said on public access television. Like, so, like, they're not glued to that building.
Right.
MLGW, the functions of MLGW headquarters can be in any office building probably downtown, right? It's not running critical systems, largely, okay? So, like, that's something looking forward, right? Like, I'm not trying to foreshadow here or anything, but those are the things at bay. Like, what lever, if you think about improving downtown Memphis, what levers do you have left to pull? But probably the MLGW site and rehabbing Beale Street,
right?
Particularly if, like, the vacant lot between AutoZone Park and FedEx Forum,
right?
Like, those are the levers to be pulled. And whether the private sector or the public sector is going to do it is unclear, right? But, like, if downtown's going to improve, that's bad. But, you know, beyond, it's like cleanliness and and police presence. And there was a huge stepped up police presence on game days last year. Right. And also, like, we're talking almost about the city. Like, I don't cover sports, but doesn't the team's success have a role?
It absolutely does. I think it has it's not all that, because we've seen Tiger's attendance down, Grizzlies attendance, I mean, right across the zoo attendance down. But it's unquestionably a part of it. Sam, great reporting. I really appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on every week. Thanks very much. Read the pieces over at the Daily Memphian.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.